have zero interest in raising chickens. Like, and I jumped on the sourdough thing. And so I get that, you know, that's like homesteading adjacent. But like,
yeah,
this whole concept of like, I feel like especially this spring, like just I had probably 20 people I was following on Instagram that were like hyped about their chickens and who were like looking at different breeds and like trying to figure out what they wanted. And like
20 is a lot.
Are we going to hatch them or get them from chicks? And they're taking pictures of their kids with chicks and they're like into it. I'm like, never been less interested. Like, I'm not into birds. Ugh, like their feet. Have you seen birds' feet?
Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Hey, girl, hey. Oh my gosh, you guys, we're trying to record a podcast and Lauren is just shoving ice cream in her face.
I didn't think we were starting just now. I took one last bite.
We're starting. It is like 7:50 p.m. We're moving towards bedtime. I have been such a grandma the last 2 weeks. I've been getting in bed at like 8, lights off at 9.
I'm the opposite. I've been staying up way too late.
What are you doing?
We've been watching this show called Traitors, The Traitors.
Oh, my word. You told me about this.
I told you about it, but it's right adjacent with everything that you love. So for those listening, if you love Survivor, if you then got into The Mole, now it's your time to get into The Traitors, if you have not already. Took me a couple episodes to get into, but it's a good, like, whodunit mystery, people turning on each other and stabbing each other in the back, reality game show, which is fun. It's on Peacock.
I just feel like it's been such a long time since I've been excited about a TV show. Like, other than Survivor, I don't have anything I really watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on the same caliber as Survivor. Like, the hype that I feel about Survivor is 100 times over.
Obviously, because it's the best show on television. But
right.
I just would so much rather read a book or get in bed. And I feel like there were a lot of shows I was addicted to for the longest time. Like, I was like a Grey's Anatomy stan, like Bachelor, you know, like all those things.
Yeah.
But then kind of once you like cut the cord, you can move on. Like, after spoiler on Grey's Anatomy.
I mean, I might go back and watch it.
This is like 85 seasons ago. But after Derek Shepherd died, I just never went back.
He died? I'm just kidding.
Like, I feel like that was like, I'm done. Cut the show. Like, I mean, I don't need to watch anymore.
Show people were binging the first however many seasons there were. I remember being in sorority recruitment. And if you had a like open party time, because there were more parties than houses, that's what you watched all together on a big screen TV.
I mean, it was iconic, but I can't believe it's still on TV. It's insane. But
they're still producing new episodes?
Yeah, they are. I saw something the other day. My sister sent me like a reel or something. And I was like, who's that? Like, what is it? It was the guy from the OC is like in the new. And she was like, yeah, he's from Grey's Anatomy. I was like, no, he's from the OC. And she was like, no, he's on Grey's right now. He's one of the main characters. And I was like,
you're
what?
Like, we're watching both at the same time when they were originally out.
Yeah.
And the OC has been off the air for 18 years.
Right. But long story short, I've been just like really going to bed early. Like, it's seriously bright outside and I'm getting in my bed, but I'm just really tired.
No, that sounds really nice. I'm like ready for bed at that time too. Like, our kids go to bed and we can't get up off the couch, or I mean, we try and watch the show on the couch because if we move to our bed, because we do have a TV in our room, we will fall asleep.
Yeah, we don't have the TV in our room. When we were putting in the electrical at our new house, the guy was like roasting us for not putting in an outlet. He wanted to like put in an outlet across from the bed.
You said, sir, this is my decision, my sanctuary.
He was like, but if you resell this, and I was like, well, we don't plan on doing it. And I don't want an outlet in the middle of the wall so the new buyers can rewire it if they want. I was like, it's just something we never have wanted. And we're already like, we're going from one TV at this, our current house, that we've only ever had one TV, because now we're going to have three eventually. We're going to have to acquire them. because we're going to have one outside, like on the screened-in porch. And then we have like an upstairs family room now slash like kids playroom. And I think for a while, we just won't have one up there.
But that's where you want TVs in all of those places. When we redid or when we added on and we did our bathroom, I didn't really care for a bathtub. Regrets. I do wish I had one now, but I never really took baths or anything. And they tried to tell that to us. Well, when you resell it, like someone's going to really want a bathtub. And I was like, that's going to be their problem. I don't want a bathtub.
Yeah.
Like, then they won't buy the house. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You just have to pick what you want to do.
Yeah.
It's hard though. Okay. I didn't mean to go on a tangent there, but let's talk. Do you need to have a couple more bites of ice cream?
Yeah. When you're talking, I'll have my bites. Don't Perfect. Worry about me.
You're eating an iconic flavor though. Do you want to tell the people?
It's cappuccino fudge blitz. And you said it was like iconic in a certain time period. Like this is what everybody loves.
For us.
It was in our house. But when you reposted it or when I posted that, a girl from my sorority messaged me and was like, no, this flavor had a chokehold on us. Like it was a very popular flavor at the time. It's a Publix brand. I don't know if it's, you know, yeah. everywhere, but it just brought back my memories.
I know.
Together.
I love how like something like that can just take you back. Like that is like, I have not kept ice cream in the house since probably we lived together. Just not something I buy.
And I thought it was with some roommate. I was like, I was pretty sure it was you.
It's so good. I love anything that's like coffee and chocolate. And I don't know if I was the first one to bring it in the house. Maybe someone else in the house did. But I do have very distinct memories of eating that Friday Bride Day.
And watching TLC. Yeah.
Watching TLC and eating that on the couch.
And it was, you know how like you become like the people you spend time with?
Yes.
You start eating like the people you spend time
with. And talking and yeah.
The snacks that we would have, the lunches we would prepare for school, the desserts we would keep and buy would be things that each other liked because you just became like the people you lived with.
Okay. So adjacent to that, Thomas and I were laughing the other day because we were talking about things that like when we first got married that we would buy that like I remember buying, like I bought Hellman's mayo for years just because that's what my mom bought. So I just bought it. Like I wasn't passionate about it. And probably like 2 or 3 years into marriage, he finally was like, can you please buy Duke's mayo? And I was like, yeah.
Like, I didn't know you were so sad about this.
Right. But like the way that you're almost just like committed to a brand because it's like what you grew up having, but it's not like I was obsessed. I just like only bought. And so I would always laugh when we were, you know, first married and I would send him to the grocery store with the same list that I would buy.
And you'd get different brands of things.
Yeah.
And so I have found this just in little like habits around the house too. Like Curtis and I make a bed differently when we put sheets on the bed. And we're both like, our way is right because that's how we grew up doing it. Or that's how our moms did it. Also, I always set the table with a napkin. I have a napkin at every meal. He just like doesn't need to wipe his mouth, I guess. He's like really clean or something. And in his family, they never set the table with napkins. And when I go to his house, I like go and find the napkins and put them on the table because I'm like, I need those. And he's like, we just like would grab a paper towel if we needed to wipe our mouth or something. We weren't like setting the table with them and buying them. Like, oh no, those Vanity brand napkins are the ones that we had in my house. And so that's what we have now.
Well, my mom was next level and we had cloth napkins, which to me is like the most superfluous thing of all time because it's like, how much laundry do you really want to do?
Right, right. I just want to do it every day.
I will agree. Like I put a napkin on my seat when I set the table at night now. Mm-hmm. No one else in my family uses one, but I like have to have one. I agree with you.
I would get up. I'd be like, that was so rude that no one set the table with napkins.
Mm, it's so funny. Also, my kids always laugh too, because like sometimes when I go to the store, I buy what they call daddy chips. And it's like his preference chips. He loves the, what are they? Cape Cod kettle cooked chips, that brand specifically. He likes the mesquite barbecue. He likes like the jalapeno ones or whatever.
I thought you were going to say like Doritos were going to be his thing.
No, I mean, he likes Doritos too, but like those are like his nice chips, but they're kind of expensive.
Yeah.
So I usually get like the variety pack of chips from, you know, Sam's Club or Walmart mm-hmm. or whatever, because it's just so easy with going to the beach, going to the boat, whatever.
Right.
But when I get those chips, they're like, oh, mom got daddy chips. Like, and we were talking about Father's Day gifts.
That's what they wanted to get him.
Oh, yeah. Well, so we decided like, because Thomas, we needed to buy a new lawnmower for the new house. So I was like, I'm not getting you anything, whatever. I was like, but I'll probably just take the kids to like, you know, Dollar General and be like, everyone pick something out for daddy. And it was funny because they were making a list of ideas. And like the first couple were outrageous, like a new surfboard. Like, I'm like,
okay,
he has six, but he doesn't need more. You know, a new guitar. I'm like, mommy got him a really nice one for Christmas. He's never getting another guitar in his lifetime, you know. But and then it was funny because it's all these outrageous things. And then they're like, daddy's chips. And I was like, perfect.
Genius.
It's like, that's more of the speed we're moving right now.
I mean, I remember thinking things like that as a kid. Like, okay, I have like a couple of dollars. Like, what am I going to buy my dad for Christmas? Well, he like wears socks. I should get him socks. Or he like shaves his face. I should buy him shaving cream. Like, it's just like what you see your dad using.
Yes.
Come on, get him something practical.
I love it. All right. Let's drive into some business banter. I'll start us off so you can finish your ice cream before it melts. Okay. And basically, we're just going to give you all a little quarter two update, which from a business perspective, quarter two is April, May, June, and then kind of talk about what we're doing this summer, because we always have like a hard time balancing summer and wanting to be off and with our kids and having limited childcare. But also, August is like go time for us and our businesses. So we kind of have to do some prep work on the front end. So my quarter two has been great. I've been super encouraged. It's kind of interesting what we do as passive income. For sure. But it is crazy to see how you need to be doing stuff to kind of build up the future. Like all this investment of time I made in chemistry, I wasn't necessarily getting a return right away, but I am now. So I'm really grateful for that. And I'm excited because I am like revamping. I had a professional development course that was virtual and I did it for 2 summers. And what I did was I did something called, what was it called? DCA that we did. It's Amy Porterfield's Digital Course Academy. And it basically, Lauren got me into it. It teaches you how to like write a course online. And it was great. I followed all of her principles. I did every single thing she said, marketed how she said, did the live launches, whatever. And then after doing it twice, I just realized I didn't like it. And I feel like I have a lot of peace recently. I'm in a season of like, I just want my business. I want everything I do to be sustainable for the long term. And I want to stick with what I'm good at. And
you want it to feel like you.
Yes. And live launching is so much marketing and so much FaceTime and so much me out there. That's just so not how I run the business. It just doesn't fit. And I was dreading it. And then I was withholding the course, which is actually really helpful for people because I didn't want to promote it and do all of that. And so now I'm revamping it and I'm treating the course like I would one of my curricula. And I'm obsessed with how it's going. It's going to be so great. And I'm really excited because I'm setting it up essentially so it can just exist all the time and people can buy smaller chunks. And I just think it's going to really serve my people. And I'm really excited about it.
And it's really aligned with how you do everything else in your business. Like they can buy one unit, they can see if they like it, and then they can buy the whole thing and you'll refund the one unit. Like,
yes,
it just aligns with everything that you already do.
And even the way it's organized and the way I'm titling the documents, like read first, I just think the way that it's going to be exactly like I do all my unit curricula, like it's just going to make more sense for buyers because it's just going to be the same. And so I'm really excited about that. And the other thing I'm excited about is I've been moving to be, my motto for this year is no rules. And so the way I'm trying to apply that to my business is I'm like obsessed with planning out my week and how I use all my work time and what I'm going to do each day. But in the summer, especially, I can feel really discouraged if I don't get through all of it. So what I've been doing instead is I write out my like entire project plan and every step I need to do. And then on my actual to-do list, it's just like work on unit 3. And it doesn't say exactly what. And I'm just chipping away at the list and crossing things off as I go because I don't have to have a deadline on this. Like I have a goal, like I would love to have it up by July 15th, but like if not, it's fine. And this has been good for me, like just living in my no rule. So that's my little update and I'm excited about it.
That's great. I am trying to figure out what it looks like, one, to work with 3 kids, mm-hmm. 2, to work with 3 kids in the summer when there's not childcare for 2 of them. I say childcare. 1 goes to real school, you know, 1 in preschool and then 1 at home with me. And I know that I just have to constantly be flexible, which is fine for my everyday life, but it's really hard for business, I think. It just feels like I'm sustaining and not like really getting super far ahead. You and I talked about this, but I was like, do I need to take a break from my podcast so that I can get ahead on some things? I don't know. I don't want to.
Well, and it's hard too, because you're like leaving it all on the floor with your kids. And then when you do finally have time to work, you're like exhausted.
Right.
So it's like, I don't have the creative energy to start some new venture or something.
And I know that like when I'm thinking about my podcast and you know, outlining it or something. I need to have a brain that works. So like the morning is the best time to do that. You know, I would love to have more work time in the evening, but I just don't feel like my brain and my body have the energy to do that. Like we're just not in that season where I can burn the candle at both ends.
I know.
Though I would love to. I like really enjoy working. And I do have our sitter coming 3 mornings a week and I'm being flexible. She doesn't really have much going on and neither do I. So I'm trying to say like, I don't know, I can move things around depending on just first to enjoy our summertime so I can enjoy it with my kids. Like you were saying, like if I know that some friends are going to our neighborhood pool on a certain day and I want to go spend time with those friends, then I'll do it. Because otherwise I send my sitter there and she hangs out with them.
I know. No,
you know,
totally.
And then we feel like our summer has gone by and I haven't even like seen friends who are also out for the summer. So just hard to balance it all. I did spend some time in my new like business management thing. I'll have to show you, but I set out goals by quarter, which has kind of been cool. And they were dollar amounts, like a goal amount and then an actual amount. And then I say the status, like, did I hit that goal? Did I just complete it? Did I blow it out of the water? Did I miss it completely? And then it's organized by quarter. So that's why I brought it up since we're talking about that. Like I have quarter two and I have kind of like all my big projects that I make money off of. And it's noted like month one, month two, month three, and whether it's a product or a project, those are kind of the most of the categories I have in here. Or you could put in there that it's like an investment, maybe something you're spending money on. I don't have anything that I'm like my expenses in here. I just kind of have my goals because like girl math, I don't need to like look at what I'm spending money on. Just like, how am I going to make it?
Exactly.
But that's helpful to see like, okay, I have a big push right now for my new for a resource for new high school counselors. It's an audio course that they can download and listen in a private podcast. And right now I'm doing like just kind of like an email push for it and a little promo. So, you know, I have a goal for what I want to reach for that. A lot of my stuff I feel like is kind of like passive stuff right now. But like you said, I would love to get ahead and have some stuff prep for back to school.
Right.
A goal, I think I might have said this on our last podcast, was I would love to hire someone to help with some of the like content stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because creating resources is not my favorite, but that is something I really need to focus on. I'm just really slow to do it.
It is so funny how opposite we are.
I know, but I would love to. The goal for this like position is to hire someone to do like the research of the content stuff of it. And then I would do the creative stuff of
right.
it. So even if they were like, I was like, hey, I want to do a 7-session small group for students on anger management. They would go do like the research and be like, these are like techniques and this is. And so ideally they're going to be a high school counselor who like has these thoughts and they're creative. Like maybe this is an activity we could do. And then I create it.
So if you're listening to this, this is what Lauren's looking for. If you have a friend or it could be you, DM her at Counselor Click.
You don't have to have like the technical skills in Adobe Illustrator or PowerPoint to do it. I will do that. I just want someone to like flesh out like on a Word document exactly like what I'm going to put in it.
Yeah.
There are people who want to do that. And I just have not put together my job application yet, but that has been on my to-do list. And I have a template for doing that. I just need to sit down and do it because I'm like, I'm sure there's someone who wants to do it over the summer, you know, when they're out of school.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Lauren, you really should make this a priority.
I'm bumping this up to the top of the list because I think it would light a fire under me to like then finish the projects, you know, that they are coming up with. So we'll see. And I know that that is going to be a job that we'll probably have some like trial and error, or I might have someone hire and it might not be the right fit. Like that's going to be something that I'm going to have to spend some time on.
I think your key is going to be coming up with some sort of task in the hiring process that they mm-hmm. do that's very small, but can give you an idea that they can do it.
Yes, for sure. That's on there.
So. I think the task work is like a game changer in hiring when I started doing that.
Oh, yeah. Because you get some really bad stuff too. And you're like, nope, you will not be a good fit.
Well, or the stuff that's like halfway decent, halfway not, it helps you decide what am I willing to train on? Like I might be willing to train on this part that you weren't as good at, but I'm not willing to train on that other part, you know? So I think that'd be really helpful.
Yeah.
I think that would really get some stuff going. And if you get that in the works, Lauren, you really get some things moving going into fall and stuff.
I know. And I've talked about this with Curtis too. And he says the same thing. He wants, like as my like business coach, he wants me to create more products because that is the passive income that you're talking about, is once it's up there, it's kind of like an Etsy storefront is how I explain it to people, where there are digital files there. They can go in any time and they can download them.
It's even better because we don't have to ship anything.
Yes, but I have like some super fans, because there are not very many people who do high school counseling products like this, and they have everything that I have. And I have over 100 products, but I think there are people out there who have mostly everything that I've put out. So I really need to create some new
things. And maybe too, it's reaching out to those people and saying like, can you give me a list of like the top five resources that would help you if I made them this year? And then
no, but Rebecca, I have so, I have long lists of these.
I know you do.
I just, it's same with the podcast. It's like, it's not like I want to take a break from podcasting because I don't know what I should talk about. I got plenty to talk about.
Yeah. You're an ideas person. Why am I telling you need to get help with ideas? I'm the executor.
But maybe it's, I post on Instagram when I'm sitting down to start one of those projects and I say, which one do you want to see first? But you know what? Maybe I should finish the one that I started last year that I haven't finished.
Is that the one that you wrote the email that said it was coming, or you said it in a podcast and you had to be like, JK, I never made that. That's where batching goes bad. You like say in advance, like what's coming. And then you're like, never mind, that didn't come.
And on my calendar, it was like bold stars, like finish this and put the link in the podcast. And it was the one thing I thought, I'll do that on my maternity leave.
Lauren, when you told, I remember you telling me, you're like, right before you gave birth, you were like, I just got all these podcasts. And the only thing I love to do is I kind of want to do this, but I could also save it. I was like, you should just knock it out. And you're like, but I'm just like proud of me. And I was like, no, like you should.
No. It was like, I didn't have any more time to do anything. And then it was the project when I sat down and I was like, I can't even write words to form sentences. And now I'm trying to do something creative where it was a lot of words. It was like lesson plans and stuff. And I was like, no, I can't do it.
Hey, to encourage you, I feel like I took a solid 6 months off after Rob of like anything creative.
Yeah.
And then the next 2 months were just research for chemistry. And that like helped turn my brain back on. But also I stopped working after my second. Like I don't do nights at all.
No, I don't work. I don't work at night. No.
Yeah. You're watching Traders. Okay. Well, that was a great update.
Yeah. That's where we are.
But hopefully when we come back, we'll have some exciting things. It'll be our busy season. So we'll see if you hired someone. We're going to hold you accountable. Y'all can DM Lauren and ask.
Yeah. If what I just mentioned rings true for you, or you're like, no, I know a person for this, let me know, because that's how I found my VA. I did a whole thing. I had lots of applications. And then someone was like, hey, no, I know someone who'd be a good fit for this. And I hired her.
And I love that. All right, let's do some bestie.
I thought you were
going to
say I love her. And I was like, do you know her?
No, I don't know her. I love her for you. I'm so happy for you. I'm also so happy for me and just like the size of my team right now. Just again, this word sustainable, I feel like is becoming my word for the business. And like, what can I handle? What can I manage? And I just am like,
yeah.
And making my, I think that's the beautiful thing about masterminds and coaching and stuff like that is like, you can get all these ideas, but every single person has their own point of view. And so even if they don't mean to, they're going to kind of tell you what they think is best. And I feel like I've like kind of followed those things, but in following other people's direction, I've now learned what really is best for me, which is like sustainable. Like I can't do all those things, but it's okay. And I'm loving it. So
that's great.
You're such a good teammate, Lauren.
Wait.
I just want to make sure you got your
shout
out.
You want to tell the people I'm on your team? Yeah, right.
Just didn't want to miss that opportunity.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Let's start with a blood boiler.
Okay. You want me to go?
Yeah. Are you done with your ice cream?
Yeah. Oh, I finished that.
Okay. Yeah, and didn't eat anymore, so I was just checking. All right. Hit us with a blood boiler, Lauren.
Yeah, I've got two. I've got one that's been living on there for a little bit, so I'll start with that. Visa gift cards. It's like you want to be grateful for a Visa gift card because in one sense, someone is giving it to you. I would say like my mother-in-law is giving it to us in Visa gift card form so that we like actually probably spend it on something that's not like our mortgage or something. I mean, I guess you could use it.
Right. And it feels like more of a gift than like a $100 bill. Like they like to give you the
Yeah. And I will say, like, I am gonna like spend it on something that that we want to spend it on. But has this happened to you where you get down to the final, I mean, even $40, it was a big gift card. And like, we got down to the final 40, or I have a couple other ones that are like $6, $3. And some places don't take these gift cards.
Yep.
And even if I have called for the balance, I like write it in a permanent marker on the outside so I know how much is on there. And I drive through the coffee shop and I say, this one has $3.26 on it. And then, oh, I have a second one and it has $4 still left on it. So this will cover it. And they're like, nah, actually, our machines don't take this. I'm like, what? This is legal tender. Why do you not take it?
Well, and you can't use it online because it goes in, you input it as if it's a credit card, not as if it's a gift card, you know? So like, it doesn't even work on like a website.
Right. And I had enough on a card. Like I wasn't trying to split it between the Visa gift card and my own Visa card or something on an Amazon order. I was using, there was enough money on the card, but it wasn't going through. It like canceled my Amazon order. So now I just accumulate these cards with little amounts on them that I can't use places.
It's so annoying.
But you told me there are certain places, like the grocery store.
The two places I've had luck, one is the grocery store, is like, because I feel like they will, you can like swipe it and it'll take like, you know, $17 off and then you can do your next one.
So like, how come some...
That's where I just think they don't want it.
But like, why? It's money. It's like if I walked in and paid in pennies, you should
have some deal with Visa. I don't know. It's just a conspiracy. But the other thing I've thought of, which I haven't tried, is I wonder if like you, because you know the amounts, you go into the gas station, you say, I want to put $13 on the tank.
Yeah.
And then you just pay with that.
37 on this tank.
You might have to let the 37 go. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that might be it. Because I agree, those drive me insane.
I have a pile of them. I'm like,
I did. My mom did those for a while too, because in her defense, she was like, this way you can use it at any store. Like, right. She didn't want to just get me like a Target one or whatever. And then I remember finally being like, hey, this keeps happening. It gets annoying. Can you just, I'd rather you just commit to Target and I'll use it, you know, or whatever store you pick. I don't care. Just pick one or give me just cash. I don't care.
Well, what I used them for, I had two big ones and I was like, we're going to put this towards our Disney trip. Like we'd be spending the money there anyway. What an easy way to spend it all at one time and use the whole thing and not come back with $5 left on it. And I had like a little Disney mom trip planner and she'd be like, okay, it let me do $100. And now I think I need to wait like 24 hours before I do it again. And she would run it again. And it got down to, I think each of them had $40 or $50 and she couldn't, it wouldn't let her run the last bit. I'm like, what?
That's really annoying. That's a lot of money. That's not just like $5.
It was a $500 gift card. And I was like, I would like to put the whole thing towards this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was annoying.
Visa gift cards.
I know.
Hate that. Well, mine is not shocking. My blood boiler is just the entire inefficiency of both the county inspection office when it comes to building and permitting and just the building process in general. Like everyone told us, I've never seen anyone build a house and not complain about this. But now I feel like I told Thomas the other day, I'm so frustrated because I feel like we've done such a good job this entire process of being on the same team, being so patient, him and I really like working through conflicts of interest well together and just being on the same team. And I just feel like the last 2 weeks of this has just been the worst.
And it like splits you and you're on opposite teams because you're so frustrated about things that are outside of your control.
Totally. And he does most of the communication with everyone involved in the process just to, you know, keep it streamlined. But he's also way nicer than me, which I think is a good thing overall, because I don't want to be rude, but I also think people can be pushed a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm. This was exactly us through our process. And we got down to the end and I was like, listen here, I'm going to get in and talk to them. And he's like, maybe you should have been doing this the whole time. I was like,
totally.
Not if we wanted to salvage these relationships with these people.
Well, and that's where I've been telling Thomas, like a la when you were in high school and you told your mom would be like, just blame it on me. I'm like, blame it on me. Tell them that your wife is being crazy and breathing down your back and freaking out. Like, I don't mind being the bad guy. And I'll ask him too. Like one of the ways we've kind of balanced this, I'll be like, hey, can I text him and say this?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Just because I will say too, that these are people that Thomas has relationships with.
They're his guys.
With. Yeah. So I get that. Like, I don't want to mess that up for him. And it's been a learning process for sure. I will say too, like, some of it like hasn't been our builder's fault. Like just the county inspection office is like so ridiculous. Like we failed our rough and electrical inspection 5 times. That was a serious delay we had. And I'm not exaggerating, y'all. The person would come and they would just mark the thing failed. And then the only note would say loose wire. But it's like doesn't tell you where, doesn't even tell you the room. So then we're bringing the electrician and his team out again. He's going through everything and he's like, I literally don't know which wire it is. And so then we'd be like, okay, the inspector's coming back tomorrow. Can you be here when he's here? The electrician will come for a couple hours. Inspector never comes, so he leaves because he's got to go somewhere where he's getting paid.
Right.
And then the inspector, of course, comes when he's not there. It's just, and even I remember our electrician left a note like on the door, like to the inspector, like, if you come, please call me and I will like come back. And of course they don't, you know?
Oh my gosh.
So it's just been such a headache. And yeah. And then even like our local electric company, when we finally got through the electrical inspection, then we had to get on the list for the electrical company to come out and set up our power line. Well, when they set it up, they didn't set it up all the way. And then we didn't realize till 2 days later that it wasn't set up all the way. And then we had to get back in line. You know, it just, it's the going to the bottom of the line every time. It's such a headache. And yeah, at this point, we are moving in with my parents for a little bit. Hopefully, by the time this airs, I'll be living in my house, but TBD. So yeah, that's my blood boiler. It's like every single day, it's something to the point that like Thomas and I, we just try to laugh about it at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can do.
All we can do.
Otherwise, you will rage. On each other, on somebody else, on the wrong person, on the mattress delivery person who leaves your mattress in the rain.
Oh, Lauren, we have a covered porch and the delivery people will just leave it in the middle of the driveway. I'm like, bro, if you just walked up 2 more feet, you could have set it underneath the covered porch. Now I got to drive over here. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I will say I'm obsessed with the Amazon pictures of delivery.
Oh, yeah. You can see, wait, why did you put that there? Now I got to go over and get
where did you put it? Because we have the old garage, we have the new garage, and we have a front porch. So we have multiple places. Sometimes I'm like, where'd you put that?
I've had a package delivered to a really random place in my house that said like near the garage, which is you had to go out of your way to walk around something and down some stairs and instead of at my front door. It's like, I would have never known this was delivered here without that picture.
Why don't they always do the picture?
I don't know. And even when I looked at the picture, I was like, where is that? Like, where at my house did you put that?
I appreciated that too, especially at our old house. Our mailbox was almost like in front of our neighbor's house. But like our house is clearly labeled in all the things, Walmart, you know, Instacart. I have a note that's like, make sure you put it on our sunshine floor mat. If it's not a sunshine floor mat, it's the wrong house. But I'd always get the picture and it'd be on my neighbor's porch. But at least you know, there's a picture, you know?
Okay. Do you have some 30-second therapy to calm us down?
Yeah, I do. Okay. This is something I've been thinking about a lot recently. Every day I watch my Time Hop with my kids. I love that app. If you don't have the Time Hop, you need to get it. It basically just, it's like a daily thing and it connects. You can connect to your social or your Google photos where you back up photos, whatever. And it just shows you memories from like the same day. My kids love looking at it with me. And every time I look, I get like so teary because they're so small. And I'm like, oh, this physically hurts me. But something I've been thinking a lot about recently is they're never going to be littler though than they are right now. So like my oldest T seems so big right now, especially when I look at stuff from last year. But I'm like, okay, well, this time next year, I'm going to be crying on Time Hop looking at the 1 year ago photos again.
Right.
So it's like, I just need to accept that he's little now. And there've been a couple of times recently where there's been an opportunity for me to hold him and I can almost not do it anymore. Like he is getting so big and dense.
Ellie's legs are so long. Same thing. When you pick her up, it's like her legs are like dragging on the ground. I'm like, oh, you're so big.
Well, and I tell T all the time, I'm like, mommy goes to CrossFit so I can hold you forever. Like that is literally my goal, is like that I can hold him. Anytime we do the sandbag, like carries, I'm always like getting the 75-pound sandbag. So I'm like, I can still hold T basically if I can at least pick up the 75-pound one. But I just keep trying to remember that. Or like I found myself recently, if I'm being perfectly honest, being really impatient with my daughter. And because she seems so big to me, especially compared to the baby who's 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, golly, she's little. Like, and she's never going to be little than she is right now. Like, I should just. And so that's kind of one of my goals too for summer, is not rushing. And she really doesn't respond well to being rushed, which like, same. I agree. Right. And so I want to like care for her better and like appreciate her littleness, or especially just her and the oldest. I feel like the baby's always going to be the baby. He's going to be 16. And I'm like, he's the baby because he's the youngest. But I want to appreciate that the others are still just little too.
I know. It's so hard because, yeah, they seem really old. I've had a couple just moments with my oldest, like whether we're walking and the other two aren't paying attention. And I feel like it's like just us having a conversation. And I'm like, one, you feel so old that like, we can have like, it feels like a real conversation, you know, and mm-hmm. being present in that moment. Just, I don't, summertime, the changing of seasons gives me more like, I feel like I come alive more as a person mm-hmm. in the summer and the good weather and being outside. And like, I'm like looking for those opportunities to have sweet conversations. And then I was like, man, with three kids, I feel like we've done a little bit of this of like stealing away time with them individually. But I'm like, I think my oldest right now like really needs that from us or from me
mm-hmm.
because she does. You've said this before, like you feel like with every kid, then your older one like takes some of that heat almost because they're more mature or they can do stuff on their own. And like today, I told you today, in a house of three daughters, one, two, or three of them are always crying because there are so many emotions. And like, once I kind of got to the root of like why the oldest was crying, I was telling her I had to go feed the youngest. And like, she's a baby. She eats every 3 hours. If not, she's crying. And she said, that is the only thing I don't like about having a baby. I love everything about a baby, but like basically that she needs my attention like that every 3 hours and I cannot do anything for anyone else. And I was like, man, that would be hard.
Yes.
But I told her, I said, she will not always be like this. In a few months, she'll eat every 4 hours. In a few months after that, she'll eat food just like the rest of us. And like, we'll all be on the same page again. But I was like, man, to see it through her eyes that like, I am not in the picture with her every 3 hours for this extended amount of time where I can't help her. Oh, I hate that. Like, I want to be everything for everyone.
It is so true to what you said about the emotions. Like, I only have one daughter and then two boys. And like, my husband is just so overwhelmed when like she is crying because she cries at least once a day, but usually mm-hmm. multiple. But I'm like, I get it. Girls, we just like emote. Like, it's just, yeah. we have intense feelings. I just like feel like such a kindred spirit with her, but I feel like I feel bad for her because she has brothers. She always comes off a little cray because no one else is really like, the boys just don't really cry. I mean, Rob cries, but it's fake. Like, he's very much too. It's like we all laugh at him when he starts crying and then he starts laughing.
And then he laughs. Yeah.
He's like, oh, ha, ha. Like, it just is hilarious. But yeah, it's like these girls, man, their little body is just processing all the things you got at times three.
Everything. It's always like, I get it. You're tired. You're hungry. And you don't know why you're crying. Like, I'm the same way. It's like, but, and then I have the responsibility of like teaching you to understand that about yourself. Like, it's hard.
Sweet Nan will always like be crying. She'll be like, I should have taken a rest. Like, cause she has the hardest time in the afternoon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same. So.
Right. I get it.
Want to support the pod and keep the fun alive? Consider shopping our affiliate links at our Amazon storefronts listed in the show notes. We make pennies off of these links at no cost to you. But hey, we'd like to think every penny helps. If you're interested in sponsoring the pod with your business, we'd love to roll an ad from you. Our audience is full of loyal listeners made up of moms, business owners, and everything in between. Send us an email at hello@bestiebusinessbanter.com and let's start that conversation. Now, back to the show.
All right. What about your 30-second therapy?
Yeah, I've been listening to / reading more nonfiction lately. I wasn't on that kick and now I'm on it. And I recently read this book called Made for People by Justin Whitmell Early. He's the same guy who wrote Habits of the Household. Did you ever read that?
Yes. Like one of my favorite books.
Yes. That one is about like, I had no idea it was going to be more about parenting, but it is a like rhythms in parenting kind of book and like different things, whether it's, you know, bedtime things, eating things, friendships, household stuff, prayer, like just all these different things. But this book is called Made for People and it's all about like friendships and relationships. He talks about covenant friendships, like having a friend and being like, hey, we're like friends for the long haul. So like, what does that mean? How do we have these friendships that are meaningful where we like ask each other real questions and we're really actually honest with each mm-hmm. other. But the 30-second therapy I wanted to discuss was he talked about a whole chapter on having friendships in proximity, which, you know, caveat, like you and I are friends across the state. So not the same thing, but the importance of having friends who are just like near you in location and how that nurtures friendships, how it's just so good for friendships. And I would say, like, I was nodding my head the whole time listening to it because I have found so much benefit in that. Like when we moved into our neighborhood, this actually was like, I love that it worked out this way, but I remember somebody much older than us saying like something so valuable you can do, like when you're, or something, the most valuable thing we did, this is what they said. We moved in next to this family. It was a family that they knew who had like kids older than their kids. So it's like a season ahead of them. And I was like, oh yeah, that like seems like it'd be really cool. Well, we did that and like kind of not, you know, I remember hearing that and it just worked out that way. And that has been huge, having like this couple with kids who are high school and college age, because I'm always like, please encourage me. Like I like text her, like, please come outside. And will you just tell me that it gets easier or better or different, or like I'm breaking down right now, but also just like in our neighborhood, and you're doing that right now. You're in a neighborhood of like lots of friends, but if you have the opportunity to choose like who your neighbors are going to be, I think like that can be more valuable than like choosing, I don't know, the house with the extra bedroom because you think that that's what you need for your family or something. If you know like people are going to be there for the long term and like this could be a neighborhood that you could see yourself thriving in with these relationships. He talked about like choosing those friends that you want to be around, even over, this is like pretty countercultural, even over like the schools that you might be zoned for. Cause he's like, he said like the importance, like school, we should hold school with like high importance, however you like choose to do that. But like, we want our kids to see that we're friends with other adults that we like live around. Like we want to invest in the friendships that are like in proximity around us. He said, tie yourself to geography because geography will tie you to your friends. And he talked about how like a lot of times, like in today's day and age, people move for their jobs. And he had graduated from law school and he really had the opportunity to move anywhere for like the best lawyer job or whatever. But he was like, what if we move to like where our like community of friends are settling down in this city? He's like, it's not maybe the best for my career, but like I'll have a fine job. And he just said like, take the opportunity to think about that before you make like these big brash decisions about, I don't know, moving somewhere where nobody is or moving somewhere for a job. And I would just say like, I have found a lot of just like fruitfulness, and I have loved living in a neighborhood with people that I have become friends with and people that I am close friends with. Like it like keeps drawing more people to our neighborhood. And it's so fun because just like the rhythms of being in friendship, like going on walks with people, or we're having hot dogs for dinner in our yard. Come on over. And like it makes hospitality a little bit easier because like hospitality can feel hard with like little kids. But it's just like you always say, like come as you are hospitality. I'm like, we're going to eat on paper plates and we're going to have throwaway silverware, but I would love to spend time with you. And because we're in the same neighborhood, we just like bop in and see each other. And I love it. And I hadn't thought about it in like a 30-second therapy type way until I read it in the, or listened to it in this chapter. And I was like, yes, I love like thinking about that as a rhythm for our family and what that'll mean for like years of friendships.
I know. That's the thing I'm the most sad about leaving our rental house, is we've been in this neighborhood with, I mean, probably eight other families like on our street, you know, that we're just so close to, and just so many little things like, hey, the baby's still sleeping. Can you go pick up the, because the kindergarten's on the same street as us, you know, like it's just, it's been really, really precious. And, you know, my husband's like not really going to miss that at all, but it's like, yeah, because you don't get it because you're not home all day. Like,
right.
It's just like you said, it's the companionship of like, I go on a walk and I run into five people. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels really good when you're home all day. But anytime I get sad about it, my husband reminds me that, like you said, one of our core values is come as your hospitality. We're both inviters. We're going to always keep initiating, but it's just, it will definitely be an adjustment.
Yeah. And I would say anyone listening should read this book, Made for People. But some of the other like ideas for like regular rhythms of friendships, he gave just like things that he's done before, a quarterly cocktail or cookout or coffee, like a quarterly something with a friend to check in. Like if you want to value this friendship, like put on your calendar every quarter. I know that doesn't like feel like a lot, but all of a sudden 3 months goes by and you know, it's like time to check in again. He said, have a friend over for lunch or have a friend over for dinner. He gave an example of like a single friend would come over to their like family dinner every Thursday night. And so like,
yeah,
their kids got to know that person and that person got to feel like part of this family. Talked about friendships with like younger people. So like going to lunch with someone younger and being like, what is God teaching you? Or just putting yourself in those situations. Cause like, you know, now we're like the people in our 30s who like people are younger than us and want that time, just as I still like desire that time with someone older than us, but just like getting good at cultivating friendships. And we talked about friendships already and how like, yeah,
it's hard
to say hard. Yeah. Like,
well, it just takes effort because you're not just like living with six girls and sharing, you know, a bathroom.
Exactly.
So it's harder. I love that. All right. You need to, and like, cause your lifesaver is adjacent to that. And I love your lifesaver. So yes. Share what's saving your life right now.
Okay. Well, I was like drowning in meal planning and, you know, realizing like if I didn't have a plan for dinner that morning, like I'm getting Chick-fil-A. I'm eating out dinner and spending money and, you know, that kind of stuff. But one, I realized, okay, I don't like even planning the dinner. So if I do it like 2 or 3 weeks out and I just put it on my calendar, that saves me a lot of headache. But I was making one of my first dinners on that like rotation and it definitely was going to make more than just what we needed at our house. And I thought, you know, I could just go drop this off at one of these like friends' house in my neighborhood. Or, you know what? We could try something this summer. I said, Ansley, what if we do a meal swap? Like one night a week when I'm making something, I either double it or I know it's going to be a big recipe and I bring it over to you and you do the same with something that you're making that week. And so on Wednesdays, she's bringing a hot meal over to me for dinner. And then on Thursdays, I'm doing the same for her. And, you know, if we say, no, we're just going to put it in our fridge and keep it. But I think it was last week when we just did it for the first time last week and hers carried us through two nights. Like we had leftovers, that's so nice. Same thing with us to her, and we've said like, do we want to surprise each other with what it is, or do you want like a hint, like it's Mexican, so like you're not eating tacos or something the night before?
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, or she like texted me a picture of two different ones and was like, you get to pick which one we're gonna have, because usually like it's like something you're gonna eat in your own home too, and I know that they don't want anything seafood and we don't want anything with mushrooms or olives, like those are kind of our only things, and I'm like, anything you want to make tastes good to me because I didn't make it.
Seriously, that I just think that's such a good idea and like such a gift to each other for the summer that you're going to do that.
Yeah, we're going to try it and see how it goes. And both times I made it before the Thursday I was bringing it to her and I popped it in my freezer and I'll take it out that morning and I'll put it in the oven in the evening and it'll be ready to go for her.
Yeah, I love that. Mine is I used, if you all go to Naptime Kitchen's like website, she has a freebies tab and I got her like daily responsibility chart. And it's in Canva, but then like, because I am who I am, I had to use my brand kit on it and like change all the colors on the fonts, et cetera. But essentially the idea is like you have a responsibilities chart for each kid. It says like morning, afternoon, or midday and evening. And it has like pictures and words, but the pictures are mainly for your kids that can't read yet of what they need to do. And
so do you give them like one thing for each of that time or like three things? Like how many things?
There's a couple of things. So here's what motivated me to start doing it is like, I have kind of gotten into a habit this year, a bad habit, or it's not bad, just one I didn't want, of like my little kids asking me to watch cartoons in the morning. Because for a while I started letting them watch Bluey so I could answer email, since their preschool doesn't start till 9. I was like dropping off the kindergartner at 7:30 and then we had this hour and a half and it's like
lived a whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Literally. So I started getting this habit and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's not even as much about the show as it when they're asking me about it. It just drives me insane because
mine would be after rest time is I like want a little bit more time for me to get something done. But when they start asking, I immediately, my like walls go up. I'm like, no, just because you asked, no, I will let you know when you
I know. Well, and that's my kids know in the afternoon, each of the big kids picks a show. So they watch two shows a day. That's like our TV time. And that's where I'm like, you don't need to ask in the afternoon because you know it's coming whenever mm-hmm. we have time. Like if we have a play date, it's going to be later while I'm cooking dinner, you know, but this asking in the morning drive me crazy. So I was like, I need something. So I saw her thing. I made it my own. But essentially, and I'm going to use it in the summer. So I made one for each kid. They're going to go. I obviously, classic me, like laminated it, whatever. My laminator's in the storage unit. So I had to pay Staples to laminate it, which kind of hurt because I like own a laminator, but whatever. So it's going to go in my fridge. But basically, it's like the morning thing is like what you have to do before you can even consider asking me to watch a Bluey.
Right.
Because I have... Like if it's the morning, it's a Daniel Tiger or Bluey. I can't handle any other noise in the morning. So everyone's like obviously going to eat breakfast. They're going to get changed. They're going to brush their teeth. But then I also put on the big kids that they have to read a book to their baby brother, especially for my kindergartner, because I have all these easy readers so we can like legit read them. And then my daughter's obsessed with like making up stories. So she will like literally take a picture book and then like pretend she's reading the whole story, literally. And the baby loves it. And then I also have that they have to play outside. So I'm like, if all of those things are have happened and then we still have time before we go to a play date or we go to the beach, then like, yeah, I'll throw on a couple blueies. Yeah. But I'm just excited because that's going to be a visual reminder. And then same for like their afternoon show. It's like, you know, you're going to get up, you're going to pick up your toys from quiet time, get a snack. Like there's things like that. And then evening is just stuff they have to do before bed. And I ended up making two versions. So I made the summer version and then I made like a during the school year version because during the school year, like the afternoons, like you need, or in the morning, it's like you need to pack your snack, make sure your lunchbox is good. I put stuff like that in. I'm trying to just start giving them more responsibility.
Yeah.
I've been convicted recently that I just do a lot because it's faster.
And summer would be a great time, essentially, like to train them to do that because usually you have a little bit more time.
Yes. And so I hate the nagging. And like in the morning, I hate like being like, does everyone have a water bottle? You have your snack, you have your lunchbox. Like we just need to start equipping each other to do this on our own.
We've only had like two or three pool days so far in our neighborhood, and it has already made me lose my mind. Like I told you, I'm trying to like lazy genius some like different things about it. But because it takes my kids 2 minutes to get themselves ready for the pool, it's they wear a swimsuit and shoes. Like they don't even put a cover up on, like they are ready to go. And so I have to do 100 things to get us out the door. And maybe I could give them some more responsibility, but I lose it when they're just here asking me questions. Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? And I'm like, no, we cannot yet. And they're like, you sound frustrated. I'm like, I am. So I might need to take a peek at that just to see.
Well, this is where you need a partially fenced in backyard, because that's been the best thing about our rental is like when that stuff, I'm like, okay, everyone goes outside until I have the bag packed.
Well, actually, one of them was like, can we go ride our scooters or like blow bubbles outside? I said, yes, please. But guess what? And they can play in the front yard and I trust them and they're good. But we're going to get a trampoline and maybe a swing set too.
Oh my gosh. Dream big. Those are going to save your life. I love it.
Well, I texted Curtis today and in the afternoon when it felt like I was here for eternity. And I was like, let's get that trampoline stat. Like they will love it and spend a lot of hours on there.
I will say the only thing I've regretted about ours, because we got it for Christmas for them, is I need to get a cover for it that just stays on all the time. My friend Shelby has one and it's like to help with like pine cones and stuff getting in it because Nan doesn't like it dirty. But then it also, ours gets hot.
Yeah.
Like with the sun. So I think having the cover, I just need to get one because.
But you have an outside to it, like a cage to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does the cover work?
It's like you can get them from like Dick's Sporting Goods, but basically I don't know how it attaches, but it's almost like a fitted sheet that goes over the top.
Over the top. And they cannot do that themselves. You take it on and off?
No, I'm like my friend Shelby leaves hers on. That's my plan. I'm just going to leave it on like all the time. Because how high can they bounce? They can't bounce like 12 feet high, you know?
I know. I just like didn't know what it was going to look like or like.
If they were high schoolers, like for sure they'd rip that thing off. But like they're small.
You're right. I need a visual of what this thing looks like. I'll look it up.
Girl, I'll invest in one. I'll send you a pic. Okay. Unpopular opinions. I've been thinking about this so much. And this is something I just see a lot on social media. And like, this is not to, I'm not trying to
You're
get
hurt some feelings.
Young.
Yeah.
I'm going to hurt some feelings. I'm just saying for me, it's an unpopular opinion. I have zero interest in raising chickens. Like, and I jumped on the sourdough thing. And so I get that, you know, that's like homesteading adjacent. But like this whole concept of like, I feel like especially this spring, like just I had probably 20 people I was following on Instagram that were like hyped about their chickens and who were like looking at different breeds and like trying to figure out what they wanted. And like
20 is a lot.
Are we going to hatch them or get them from chicks? And they're taking pictures of their kids with chicks and they're like into it. I'm like, never been less interested. Like, I'm not into birds. Ugh, like their feet. Have you seen birds' feet? It's so gross. One time when we used to live in our old house, we were just down the road from my dear friend, Abby Wedgeworth, who a lot of you I know follow her because she's like the most inspirational person on the internet, most intentional parent I've ever met in my life.
She also has chickens.
Yeah, she has chickens. But
she's
that,
intentionally
like,
raising those chickens to be like disciples of the Lord as well.
But like she is like a homesteader. Like that is who she is. And that's what I'm saying. Like it fits for her. It fits for a lot of people. It doesn't fit for me. But like, I remember one time they got stuck out of town, like couldn't come back in, and she needed someone to water the chickens. And I was like, hell no.
Water the chickens?
It was like something like that. Like, you had to go add water. All I know is like, I sent Thomas. I was like, Elder Tom is on his way. And it was funny because they have a camera on their coop just to make sure, like, because they had some like creatures like sneak in. And so then they were like taking screenshots of Thomas in there. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I would have let the chickens die. Like, I don't want to touch them. I don't want to smell them. I don't want to feed them. I just am not into it. The closest I've been interested into it has been our girl, Kaylin Sheik, because they got the omelet like coop, which is this like high tech coop that looks more interesting to me. But still, I'm like, I cannot imagine having another living thing to care for, let alone one that's so ugly. And like, eggs are not that expensive.
Right. How much money are we really saving? That's how I feel about our garden that we're not doing this year. But I'm like, we're growing our own crops to save what, 89 cents for a cucumber?
Yeah, no, that's just more of like that's like you have a hobby. Like, gardening's your hobby. And I guess chickens are your hobby. Again, like,
yeah,
I'm happy for people. I'm just saying, like, I am very influenced by things on the internet. Like, hello, that's why I started the Momfluencer, because I was just like talking about what I've been, but like, I watch those chicken videos and I'm like, good for you. Not for me.
A journey I will not be taking.
Never. And like, I just, especially when people let them like, just kind of free range in their backyard. I'm like, they're just pooping all over.
Isn't that what you call Rob? A free range chicken?
Yeah, he's a free range chicken. I don't need any other free range chickens. I already have one. So that's how I feel about that. That's my unpopular opinion. Please don't come at me if you have chickens. If you do, I'm really happy for you.
I'll watch your journey from afar.
Yeah, I just don't want anything to do with it. It's a no for me, dog.
Would you hold a chicken if someone was like,
no,
I got to go grab my kid from jumping in this lake. Will you hold this chicken for me?
No, I'll go get the kid out of the lake. I was a lifeguard for 7 summers. I'd rather save the kid.
Save the chicken.
Yeah, I just am like, ew, their noises, the way they just kind of like do their bodies, just not into it. All right, I think I've made that clear. What's your
unpopular? Okay, well, I had one, but I'm going to change it to go along with this. I think that this would be an unpopular opinion, I don't know, against a lot of people, but definitely the animal lovers out there. There is not much I would do. I would never pick up a dog like off the side of the road and be like, let me find its family. Like, this is a lost dog or a lost cat that like, obviously it's wearing a collar. It's separated from its family. I wouldn't go help it. Call me heartless. Would you help? You would help it? You're making a face. Like, you would. You're going to put it in your car and you're going to like go see if it's chipped and then post in a Facebook group that you found this chipped dog.
I'm going to call Elder Tom. I'm going to be like, you got to get your truck over here. But I could see myself, like, especially in the neighborhood we're in now. I mean, like, a lot of families. I could see myself like taking a picture and posting it in the neighborhood Facebook group being like, so-and-so's dog's loose. There's a dog loose on 8th. You know?
Yeah, maybe a picture, but not.
No, it's not coming in my car.
It's not going to stay in my home or my garage wait for its owner to reappear. But people do that.
I mean, no, because here's the thing. Like, even if it's like a rainy night or something and you're trying to give it shelter, someone might be looking for it. So if I put it in my home, how does that help? They can't find it.
And I think it's an animal that has evolved since the beginning of time. Like, this dog came from wolves that know how to live outside.
You and Thomas are the same person. Okay, this is funny because we were just talking about time hop. One of the things that keeps me humble is my time hop is connected to my Facebook. And so it'll have like Facebook statuses from like, you know, when Facebook started, like 2007. And I'm like, I don't delete them because I'm like, I need to keep seeing these so I never get a big head about like who I am as a person.
Where I came from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. My roots. But one of them the other day was like a screenshot from me and Thomas like 14 years ago of like me sending him a picture from work and it was pouring down rain. Or so it couldn't have been that long ago, 11 years ago. We were first married. And I was like, is Millie outside? That's our dog. And I was like, you need to go home right now and get her and like bring her in. And he was like, she's fine. She's a wild animal. She can seek shelter. I was like, I was so upset. I remember we got in like a huge fight about it because I got home and she was just like a drowned rat in our backyard.
And she was fine.
So Thomas agrees with you. He's like, she's a wild animal.
Yeah. And one time my sister's a cat person. I mean, she loves cats and dogs. She loves all animals. I think this is where I've thought about this before too. She went out of town. And she was like, can you go feed my cat while I'm gone?
Never. I was
like, sure, I guess. But like, it doesn't need me to go there every day. I just like went and made sure maybe she was gone for a week and I went like 3 times or something. Like, I don't know. And she came back and she was like, she didn't give me these instructions to do this. I guess she just thought it would be intuitive for me. She was like, you didn't clean out its litter box?
What?
Hard pass. No, I did not.
Especially if you didn't give me instructions. How am I supposed to know I'm supposed to do that? I would have no idea.
No. And I was like, it's an animal. It can go in the box with the rest of its poop. Like, it doesn't.
Dude, cats are the worst animals. I'm sorry to everyone listening. I hate cats. That's another unpopular opinion. If you did not know this already, I lied for so many years that I was allergic to cats, and now I forget that I'm not actually allergic because I've said it so much. But I actually do think I've developed a sensitivity.
Because you've believed it for so long.
Well, listen, I will say this. My daughter is extremely allergic to cats. If she touches a cat and then touches her face, her eyes balls are swollen shut. It's actually so depressing. And so I think it was genetic. I think I have, but I really hate cats. So I would never in my wildest dream change a litter box. I would go on Rover and like hire, if someone asked me to watch their cat, I would hire someone to watch the cat on my behalf.
Right. Which like they should have just done that to begin with. I don't know. Like it's one of those things where, I mean, I think you're doing this this time. You're getting movers. Like we can afford to get movers, or if you can afford to have a dog, like let's pay someone to like do the thing.
I'm passionate about that, but Thomas is not. He does not like to pay for anyone to watch a dog.
But even a dog, if it has to go out three times, that's someone coming over three times during the day.
I know. Dogs are, I love dogs, but they are high maintenance creatures.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an animal lover out there, you are really bristling at our unpopular opinions.
So I know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Okay. This is a really random millennial memory, but I just want to bring this up. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, what's something that you read in Cosmo or like 17 magazine one time and you still do it? Because like, I was just thinking about the difference of like when you see all these girls, these Gen Zers, and they're all made up, and it's because they can watch all these YouTube videos. They have all these sources of information. It's like, my family had a collection of A to Z encyclopedias. And so when you were writing a paper, you looked up the letter encyclopedia, and that was your intel. And like,
that was what you wrote the whole paper on.
Literally, same for fashion. I was thinking about the other day. I remember reading once that you always wash your face with warm water to open your pores. And then at the end, you have to use cold water to close your pores.
That kind of makes sense. Do you think that's true?
I don't know.
Will Jordan Harper be on our podcast so she can answer that for us?
Girl, I've asked and I don't get any responses, but I got to keep emailing. But no, I like, that's like one of those things I'm like, it's just funny that like, I did no other research. I have no other sources to back up that is something that works. But I read that and I will never forget. And like every night I think about that when I change the temperature on my thing. I think about it every time.
Lives rent-free in your brain.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know that I have anything that like stands out. I can't really remember anything like that, but I definitely got 17 magazine for my whole life. Like when I got a new magazine subscription, that was the best. Like if, I don't know if my mom like signed me up for a magazine, but I think 17 was the one I got for like my whole high school career.
What was the American Girl magazine called that came out monthly? That was like my favorite forever.
Well, no. What kinds of things did it have in it?
Oh my gosh, it just had so many good things. Like there'd be articles, there'd be short stories.
And how old were you when you were reading this?
I mean, I probably had it until I was like 14 when I started like buying myself Cosmos, you know?
And that's too young for high school.
I didn't have a lot of oversight when I was in high school.
I'm just trying to, was there a teen version? I don't
know. Totally. No. Cosmo Girl, I think it was.
Oh, I think I got Cosmo Girl. I got Cosmo Girl, yeah. Because magazine sales were like a big thing at school fundraisers too. So it was like I was helping the school. I was getting a magazine for myself. But
I want to know people's answers to that. So
something you learned in a teen magazine. I had Teen People too. Teen Vogue. I think I had all the teen magazines.
My mom had a People subscription. I remember it was like the only magazine that came every week. And so it was like, I was obsessed with, because it was before social media, the celebrity sightings at the front, like where they saw.
How were they doing that? It's hard to turn around content every week, let alone things that the paparazzi is getting and like the tea.
I know. So funny.
Okay. Do you remember before it was like post CD when you had your iPod, but before the auxiliary cord, and you maybe didn't have a tape player in your car to do this yet, but you had the FM transmitter that went in the bottom of your iPod and you had to find the staticky station. Yes. And I would go and find it and then like press this button and poof, now my music played on this AM fuzzy station turned for my music. And then when you went on a road trip and you were like, I mean, I went on a lot of road trips during this period of my life because I was always doing this. I'm like the one driver, the one person in the car. Yep. Hit another staticky station. Got to change my FM transmitter.
That is such a core memory. I haven't thought about that though. And so
me either. Curtis reminded me of that the other day. I guess I was talking about like my original iPod and he was like, did you play it in your car with the FM transmitter? I was like, yes.
Well, I remember like I'm from Kentucky. I went to Clemson. It was a 5 hour and 40 minute drive with no stops and I could make it on one tank of gas. And I remember having that. And then I had my CDs, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I remember like not having a phone charger. So I remember always being like, hope my phone doesn't die before I get home, like not knowing. And then for my high school graduation, I got the Garmin.
Yeah, I stole my mom's little map thing. And if that thing died or...
Or it like couldn't connect. It couldn't connect and get you the map. Like when there was construction, you're just like,
I had maps in the car.
Same. I had laminated ones and then he had drawn on them with permanent marker. Like these are three routes to get from Lexington, Kentucky to Clemson, South Carolina.
Wow.
And I was just like, and it would happen a lot because I had to go around Knoxville. So there'd be construction, you know, like, but yeah, I remember so many times being like, oh, my phone died. Like I'm still 2 hours from home. Like it's what it is. I remember, like, I distinctly remember when I got a car that had an aux cord capability and being like, I've made it.
Right.
I have made it, let alone now we have Bluetooth.
My car did not play burn CDs. It was like, you know, this weird quirk about it. It just regular CDs. So like, I very much remember the very first CD that played the first time I drove my car by myself with my license was Ashley Simpson, Autobiography. If I heard that, if you want my auto,
please don't sing it.
It would take me back to.
I love how songs take you back. That album by The Fray that like every song was on Grey's Anatomy, like we were talking about. I used to listen to that when I would go to the tanning bed in high school.
That's what it's called,
yeah. Yes. And so that I have like distinct memories of like listening to that on my way to the tanning bed.
I never knew.
It's so good.
There was something else about that I was going to say too. Oh, we also talked about how CD writable and CD rewritable, those just had such a short stint of time when you were burning CDs. Like whoever was like jumping into the burn CDs market, like they didn't last for very long. We went from like floppy disks to CDs to like just jump drives, like USB drives real quick. It was in the grand scheme of technology, like that passed by really quickly.
I feel like I just held on to the burn CDs for so long. So it feels like they existed longer, but you're right. Cause I remember having like a jump drive freshman year of college.
Yeah, because like you probably put files on a CD for a little bit. Now you can't find anywhere to play a CD. I mean, they're just archaic.
When I got my minivan in 2019, I remember being like, but where's the CD player? And the guy like laughed at me and I was like, wait, we don't do CDs anymore? Like at all? He's like, no.
What do I do with these? And you take out your big black bin flipping thing of them.
I mean, I hadn't driven a car newer than a 2008 ever. And so then I jumped 11 years. I literally went from like, well, I'd gone 2008. Then I went all the way back to 2004. I went from a 2004 to a 2019. So it was like a 15-year jump in like the tech and stuff. I remember even he's like showing me all these features like lane assist and like basically fall asleep while you're driving. And I was like, sir, I just drove a 2004 Mazda 6 with a spoiler on the back. Like, I'm fine. Honestly, we had to get a new car because I needed AC and I'm about to have a second baby. Like, I'm fine. Yeah, it is crazy.
I remember them telling me, like, two cars ago, in 2010 when I got a car, they were like, oh, it has Bluetooth. Like, you could talk on the phone without, like, holding your phone up to your ear. And I was like, why I would use that?
Yeah, you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'm like, wait, people hold phones to their ears?
Like, honestly, though, like, it is crazy how millennials, like, we have had to be the most adaptable of any generation. Like, I feel like we've seen such an insane span.
I mean, not to, like, toot our own horn, but we're, like, really adaptable and really flexible.
Honestly, and we're going to therapy. We're reversing generational trauma in our children.
We're literally the best generation.
I will say, I agreed, obviously, but I read this thing the other day, like a sociological study, and they're like, this is the last chance for like a huge parenting shift because millennials are the last generation to remember life before the big technology shifts of things. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't make huge changes on our children and how they experience technology, then it's over forever. like those boundaries will never be set again.
Well, the next book I'm going to read is The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt.
I know it's on my list. Maybe let's read it together.
Okay, great.
Book study. Okay. Last things, anything we got to gab about. So two random things I want to say. I'll do one, then you can do one, then I'll go. But one is the Risen Motherhood shutting down. Did you hear about that?
I saw that. I just saw their post and I didn't go deep dive. Did I send it to you?
No. So I'm on one of the girls' like email lists because I like how she writes.
But I was like, I mean, it's not all about the followers, but they have a big following, like huge a big following. Community of people.
They do. And they're not, I will admit, I'm like not, I haven't followed them super closely over the years, but like, you know, like I mentioned Abby, she's written for them. I've done like random series about work or something I've listened
to. Same.
I'm not like a weekly listener. Yeah. But I just wanted to say so I got the email. I was like, wow. So I listened to like the 50-minute podcast episode they put out about it. And I was just super impressed and just thought it was really cool and interesting to hear about people just deciding something's done and shutting it down and like not, they're like, we could have like hired more people and then like taken a back seat or sold it to somebody or, and they're just like, they've been praying about it for a long time. They're like, no, we just feel like we've done a good work and like it's done. And I just thought, how cool in like an age of like online businesses and brands and online influence, you never really hear about people just being done.
And they probably had coaches who said, don't do that. That's not like the best move. You could make so much money. Or they're probably like, well, that's just not what we want to do.
And I just, you should, it's worth listening to their whole rationale. I think it's very interesting. So all I just want to say is like, I just thought it was really interesting. I really respect their decision. And of course, there's people on like the Instagram that are like, I can't believe you're doing this. But it's like, I just love it. It's like, you guys did a great thing. It doesn't have to be a forever thing. Mm-hmm. You made an insane impact on women's lives. You know, I just think it's interesting. So,
yeah. And you made it thoughtfully, prayerfully. You decided like with you and your partner and your team that this is what was going to be next. And that's probably really scary to make that decision. I'm sure that was terrifying.
And just talking about how like their kids are getting older and they feel like they were kind of always for the younger mom, but now they're navigating older kid stuff. And then they really want the privacy for their children and just a lot of, and they want to be more present. And I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting. So I was proud. You never see stuff like that nowadays.
Okay. Well, just an update. We went to Disney. And we went to Old Edward's Inn. Those were two of the things that we were really excited about and looking forward to. Disney was so fun. Some people messaged me and said, you need to do a podcast recap. I said, Rebecca will not want to be here for that. I'd have to do a solo episode.
I'm sorry. You can do it while I'm gone this summer. We can talk about that in a second.
No, but it was really fun. We did it as the family, just like our nuclear family of five. And it was awesome. It was just what we needed. Memories. Our goal was to like make memories with our family. We like took our kids lead kind of in if they were tired, we were going to go back and take a nap. They just powered through and they loved it. And it was the best thing we could have. Yeah, we were like, yeah, we're tired, but we came back just so happy that we did it. We had no regrets about it. So that was fun. And then just Curtis and I went to Old Edward's Inn and that was like fun and relaxing, but I was pumping the whole time. And that felt like a part-time to full-time job while I was there. It required so much equipment and coordination of like getting the milk back and all the things. And that was the first time we left all three, which I would leave all three with almost anyone probably, but because my third is easy and she's a little angel, but that was not hard to like leave them, but we like very much needed it. It was so nice just to be away and for like us to have a conversation that wasn't interrupted or someone wasn't complaining or crying or having big emotions. But, you know, you take all three of those ones with emotions out. And I realized that like I had a lot of emotions. Like we were sitting
out. This is your chance. This is your chance.
Yes. Literally, we were sitting out at dinner and lunch. And twice I just started crying in public. And I was like, you can't take me anywhere right now. Like, what is wrong with me? I just like realized I was really fragile and like, you know, I'm going and like caring for everybody else and not me. And I was like, I think it's time for me to start going back to counseling. Not like anything that we did or like that he said that made me cry or anything like that. I was like, I'm just feeling really fragile right now, now that I have like some quiet time away from everything. So it was fun.
I'm glad you had that space though.
Yeah. You can do yours and then I'll come back to a few more of mine.
Okay. My last one is just, I'm excited. So I'm going to be taking the whole summer off of social media and I'm pumped about it. I've done the longest break I've ever done is a month and it was great.
It must be nice to have somebody who runs your social media.
Yeah. Luckily, I can do that. No, but I'm excited about doing it. Like, I think I have really healthy boundaries of social media, but I also think, you know, you can always push yourself to have more boundaries. And so like, let's see if I can do 1 month, if I can do two. Also, my oldest has a really short summer. This summer, it's only 2 months, like exactly. And so I'm going to take off those 2 months and just see how it goes. And I'm also excited too, because I feel like this is just a really transitional summer with us being in the middle of moving. And I don't know, it just feels like a really transitional summer. And I'm kind of excited to experience it without the thought in the back of my mind of sharing it and talking about it with other people. I'm a verbal processor, so which is why I love the podcast. I love coming on social media and talking, but I'm also like, you know, I think this could be a good boundary. And I think being present with my kids is really hard for me because my brain's always thinking about the next thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is going to be a good challenge for me to just kind of slow down. And my hope for the summer is that concept I mentioned earlier of like no rushing. I don't want to rush them. And I think to create more space in my mind and in my time, something that I can easily remove is like time on my phone. And I'm obsessed with anytime I take a break from social media, especially like I do it every Sunday, but I like my phone battery is like never used all day. Like I have so much battery when I go to sleep. It's going to be like that all summer. So I'm excited about that. I think it'll be a nice break.
That is. And the more you do it, like the easier it becomes, if that makes sense. Like you don't crave the like the reflex of like open my phone and that's what I go to is Instagram or whatever. Yes. Or I just care less about what people are doing. I mean, that sounds bad, but it's like,
totally.
Like, what they're up to. Or that really hit me when I'd be like nursing in the middle of the night and be like, no one's doing anything at 3 a.m. There's nothing new on this feed. Why can't I do something else? I'm like, I need to just read my book. Like, this is pointless for my brain.
Well, and like, because of our move, we're not like going on any trips this summer. So I don't want to like have any envy in that. And then I also just, I want to be spending any money we have on like furniture and stuff we need. So I don't want to be influenced by like influencers just to buy stuff I don't need. Like,
exactly.
I just want to really be present. So I'm super excited about it. So I just want to gab about it and give people a heads up that I think it's by the time this airs, I'll be off. It's like, I think he gets done June 6th, then goes back August 5th. I can never remember which day is which, but that's basically the time I'm going to be off.
That's awesome. Okay. My last thing is that book that I read, Made for People. It along the lines of like that and a book that I read, it's not a Christian book. The other one is called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. Mm-hmm. I read that last year and it was so good, just about like gathering with intentionality and some like different strategies for it. But he in the Made for People book had a good idea. He called it a spark dinner or something like that and gave like a couple different bullet points for it. But I took it and was like, I'm going to put this on my calendar. So put together three dinners at our home with three other couples who we know, but they don't know each other. And I think that they should be friends. So
this is so your like skill set too.
I know.
This is so you.
I'm so excited. So I've like done a little bit of research to like really, they're not on a group text or anything. And because I want it to be a surprise when they come. They all have like something in common. So like one group is proximity. They all live kind of close to each other and I want them to know each other. And they're in like similar seasons. Like two of them are worked in high schools and now they're going to be staying home with their kids. Two of them went to the University of Georgia, but like did not know each other there. Like just all these different things that they will have in common that I'll be like, this is why I like really intentionally pick these. Another group is like a couple that used to live in Greenville that just moved back to town. So I do want to like connect them to other people. And he was in our wedding. And it's like, we know all of these couples like really well, but I'm like, y'all should know each other. Or like when it comes up in conversation, I'm like, wait, y'all don't know each other? What? That's so weird. Or like, you know, if I'm telling a story. So I've got three groups that we have. It took some coordinating because I was like, you know, of these dates, which are you available? And I had to do that without like being on a big group text. I also told them, like, so you're going to show up and you're not going to know who's going to be there, but you're going to have so much fun. I also told them all to wear a t-shirt that kind of has a story behind it. So,
Gosh, what a matchmaker. What an event planner you are.
Yes. So maybe it's like somewhere you work, something you're involved in, something that has a fun memory, a concert you went to.
That's a good idea for a conversation starter.
Totally. Like, I mean, you're not going to show up at a dinner at my house and not have anything to talk about or like, you know, right, stare at the wall or something. But someone might have a story that like connects to somebody else that I didn't even plan for it to. So
that's a funny idea for an outfit. Like, I love that. That's so easy.
Listen, I just got to have a note in my phone about like all different theme parties that I would like to do.
Okay, we're going to have to gab about this another time because I'm afraid this episode is getting too long, but I personally really want to hear these.
It's right here. It's right here. Just stay with me.
All right, you rapid fire them.
A Flag Day party, June 14th, you know, on Flag Day. We'd have a giant American flag. We'd I don't even know what Flag Day is about, but like we'd like sign the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Have a military vehicle. You know, I've got all sorts of ideas. Okay, that's just one theme. What about like dress like yourself in high school?
Have you done the dress like your spouse party?
So funny. I mean, it's like, so I'm just funny, like looking for excuses to have theme parties, dressing costumes. The mother of all parties, dress like a famous mother.
Ooh, love that. What about what do the guys do? They still dress up as a mom.
Yeah, or this could be like a girls only party.
Okay.
Come as you aren't. That feels like a very sorority social, but you know, something that you're not. A holiday party, like, you know, you have your, like your Christmas party, but like you have to be wearing a wig. So something that's not your hair on your head.
Okay. We did for my friend Lee's birthday. She like assigned us. We all filled out a Google form with our size. And then we had like you to go to a thrift store and buy an outfit for your person. It could literally be anything. And it was so funny.
Yeah.
Because everyone took it differently. Like someone got someone a wedding dress. And then like other people were in like spandex leopard print. Like it was just hilarious.
I'm looking for excuses to have gatherings like this. Summer camp chic, bingo and boca, throw down for your hometown, mom prom.
Oh, let's talk about that. Are people in your sphere getting into Mahjong? Because I'm seeing a lot of young people playing Mahjong and I'm like, what's going on?
Yes. So on Young Lives Committee, we're trying to do a fundraiser and we're going to do Bunko for babies. And then these two other women were like, what about Mahjong? We got a private coach to teach me and my friends how to play Mahjong. And I was like, what? Like
that tiles game
you played on your computer, like solitaire? There's coach.
Literally, my grandma played on the computer, but you played in real life and you have like a whole kit. My mom plays it now like and has a whole like group with it.
Yeah, I gotta circle back to that.
I know.
We can talk about hobbies for a whole podcast, but who knows when this podcast will be back.
I know, TBD. We should need to decide if we keep just doing more Just Besties episodes because we're so particular about our interviewees. I'm just obsessed with everyone we've had. So I don't want to just like go rogue for the sake of producing content, especially since we both produce content for a living.
Mm-hmm. This one doesn't feel like a job. This is a hobby.
For sure. It is. And it's so fun. But it definitely still like the pitching and the coordinating is still work. So
right. Who should leave a review today before we get off of here?
Ooh, okay. You should leave a review today if you had an FM transmitter in your car. You know what we're talking about?
if that hits you in your feels.
And or if there's something that you still do to this day that you learned from a magazine that you read 20 years ago.
Yeah, because I want to hear that.
20 to 25 years ago, please let us know because we want to hear those things.
Okay, do you want me to read a review while we're here?
Yeah, read us a review.
Because, you know, everyone leaves us a 5-star review because we tell you, don't leave a review if it's not going to be 5 stars. Like, we don't want that.
Because, like, we pay to do this and we don't make money and it would really hurt our feelings.
This is from someone I don't know because their username is Metalhead112.
I definitely don't know who that is. So what did they say?
They said, they headline, love this podcast. Started listening a few months after the Car Mom recommended. Shout out to Kelly Stempy and Liz St. John. Recommended this, and this has become one of my go-to podcasts. I love that Lauren and Rebecca are so relatable and funny, but that I also get a meaningful takeaway from each episode. They have great energy together. I love the variety of topics, and the guest interviews have all been great, too. Thanks, Metalhead112.
That is a good one. That's encouraging.
I know. I just pulled up the first one I saw right there. And, you know, since they're all 5-star reviews, it was like I could pick from any of them.
That's a good one. Well, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for whoever left that. And we'd love
Metalhead112.
The rest of you. Yeah. Love ya. Lila's Metalhead.
See you. We'll see you when we see you.
We'll see when we see you. August, September. We'll see. TBD.
Who knows? Maybe before that, if we feel inspired to do so.
Yeah. TBD.
Okay. Lila's.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, business bestie.